Welcome to the Burden and Blessing Podcast, a study and discussion forum on the truth of God's Word. Our Word of the Week takes an in-depth look at important Bible words so we might increase and deepen our understanding of God's Word of Truth. We pray that these brief studies will enable you to get more out of your daily reading and hearing of God's Holy Word.
You're listening to the Word of the Week podcast, and we are considering the word marriage today. Marriage in the Bible goes back to the very beginning of the book of Genesis. In chapter 2, verse 24, God said, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." We see in that simple verse the foundational principles for marriage. One man, one woman, for life. A man shall leave his own family and be joined with his wife. The Hebrew idea there is almost as if they're glued together as one. A man leaves and cleaves to his wife, and the two become one flesh. That phrase, one flesh, is also expressive of the sexual union that a husband and wife share within that marriage bond that is based around commitment. Ultimately, too, one could hardly be considered one flesh if they were not also united in that commitment to enter into the marriage relationship. And so we also see the principle expressed in that single verse of a husband and wife committing themselves to each other for life. However, we know that in practice, the concept of marriage is not as easy as that one single verse portrays. There are many threats to marriage. There are many ways that the world tries to change and manipulate marriage. There are many ways that our sinful flesh tries to twist and distort what God intended marriage to be and shape it into some sort of man-made institution. What also makes marriage complicated in our day and age is that it's also a civil institution in some respects. That the government that we live under has something to say and do about the regulation of marriage around us. And so at those times, it can be also tricky for a Christian to navigate the topic of marriage properly. But coming back to the Word of God there in Genesis chapter 2 is always helpful to bring us back into focus of the scriptural principles that God gives regarding marriage. We may live under a society that has different laws and different regulations about marriage, and you might have to fill out a different piece of paper or perform some other different type of law to verify your marriage. But ultimately, the moral principles behind marriage that God has given us should be equal across the board, regardless of who we are. We also know that the section in Genesis is of great importance for marriage because Jesus himself quoted from that section twice in his own ministry when speaking about marriage in Matthew chapter 19 and in Mark chapter 10. In those sections, Jesus was questioned about the topic of divorce, which is probably the biggest difficulty regarding marriage that we encounter. And the question was along the lines of, well, if God allows people to get divorced, then why can we say that marriage should be between one man and one woman, or that marriage should be for life? Why would God allow such a thing if he doesn't want divorce to happen? It's very similar to the question of, if God wants all people to be saved, then why do some people go to hell in condemnation? Many people think that in God's power and wisdom, if he wants something to happen, then it should just happen that way and there should be no problems at all. But that forgets the effect of sin in the world. Certainly, it was never God's intention for marriage to be desecrated in the way that it has in our society and in our world. And certainly, it's never God's intention that anyone would perish and go to hell in unbelief, but that is the reality of sin. That is why God warned Adam and Eve against first falling into sin, because of the devastating effects that come along with it. So remember what this single verse of Genesis tells us about marriage. That it's God's gift to us here on this earth, that it's his creation, and it's meant for one man and one woman for life. And remember that marriage is ultimately, at its essence, about commitment. It's not about falling in or out of love. It's not about looking for something new or exciting. It's not about moving on from the old. It's not about finding power and effect for my life here on this earth. That marriage is about making a commitment to someone else, your spouse, and to God. If we keep those simple principles in mind, marriage becomes a tremendous blessing in our lives and a pillar of our communities. But for those times when we forget what God has said or when we turn away from it, let us also remember what our Savior has done to cleanse us from our sins and to renew what God originally intended through marriage. Jesus Christ is the one who makes atonement for our sins and mistakes, and he is able to bring reconciliation to all relationships that we have here on this earth, especially those that are most important and most fundamental to our lives, even that of husband and wife. Go forward, whether you're single or whether you're married, renewed in what the Word of God tells you about this special institution and gift from God, and seek to give God honor and glory throughout your life by what you say and do when it comes to marriage.
We encourage you to listen for a new word each week on Burden and Blessing Podcast, where we believe and confess that every word of God is true. Until next week, be assured that God's word is truth and is more precious than gold.